Chapter 10. Dinosaurs and Ghost Towns. Ray Mear said, "When the going gets tough, don't give up." We slipped off the main road to explore at just about every opportunity. Elk and deer seemed to roam quite freely, and though they were quite skittish, they were happy for us to watch them from a distance. I loved each opportunity to take the bike onto dirt tracks, and I loved the mind teasers the gravel and sand played with me. I liked the fact that there was no way I could ride on autopilot, and my thoughts could only be on what the track was going to try to make Libby do next. I got a real buzz when something unexpected happened, and I had to react without thinking. It might be a patch of soft sand or mud that had suddenly got the back tire fishtailing and scrabbling for grip. I always got a zap of adrenaline at those heart-stopping moments when the bike was almost at the point of disaster, and then, yet again, its momentum, balance, and power kicked in to carry me to safety. I also had a real sense of satisfaction when I emerged from the other side of each of these moments with the realization that I'd survived on intuition. The bike and I had dealt with the hazard almost as one being. I'd learnt a bit over the years, but I'd never forgotten the fear with which I rode my first countries through Africa. Being outdoors all of the time gave us a grandstand view of the ever-changing skies. We always rode on high when the sky was blue, with a dash of tension when the changing colours threatened a coming storm, and with a feeling that combined fatalism and vulnerability when that storm actually did come crashing through the air above us. I was awed by the unexpected shapes that formed up there. I was enthralled by the astonishingly beautiful colours that would either ease across the sky or flash across it with an urgency that always held a hint of danger. A high point from a day's ride often came from stopping the bikes, lying on the ground wherever we were, and watching the sky. It never looked the same, and lying there on my back always made me conscious of the freedom we had. One night, Birgit and I found a small valley to camp in. We'd ridden tracks through the rolling grass-covered hills for hours, and towards the end of the day, just as the land around us began to be hazed by subtle tones of yellows and orange, we found a perfect spot to camp. It was out of sight of any but the closest passerby, and was sheltered from any winds that might blow up during the night. When we turned off our engines, all we could hear was the sound of the warm breeze blowing through the dry prairie grass. Within moments, we had the bikes parked and the tent up and the billy on the stove. We unpacked, and then, as the hills around us changed from glowing orange to deep red, we sat sipping tea with the flickering glow of the stove lighting up our faces. Above us, the sky slowly turned into that majestic midnight blue that always forms the perfect backdrop for the brilliant white of the stars. A sharp-edged sickle moon hung crisp and clear, with the dark side of the moon, a round, deep blue-purple outline against the star-spangled reaches of the outer space. We lay back in the grass to watch, quite awed by this gift of a sight. Birgit and I didn't need to say a word.